Hello, everyone. Welcome to Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. I'm doing well.
We're doing better today.
Man, we're doing great. We're doing fantastic. We're hanging out.
It's a good day.
We're having a good day. We're having a beers in the hotel room, which reminds me that we should probably be quiet, which reminds me that I'm making sure that the audio is actually good now. But yeah, So we are now in Williamsburg, Virginia, which is one of my favorite, absolute favorite places to be. Before we get to Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, we are currently drinking a Hot Madness Double IPA from Great Lakes Brewing, brought all the way from Cleveland, Ohio, with us this whole trip. So it's absolutely delicious. It's wonderful. Not my favorite IPA they make, but hey, guess what? It's on sale.
And it's beer.
And it's brisket.
Does it have the word beer in it?
Yes. It's also 9% alcohol content, which is a plus in my book. So to start off, we are staying at the Hampton Inn at in Williamsburg, mm-hmm. Colonial Williamsburg. Really close to Colonial Williamsburg. If you guys have never been to Colonial Williamsburg, you guys are missing out on a themed entertainment opportunity like none other, because, like, it's ridiculous.
It's the themed entertainment capital of the world.
Yeah. So, do you want chips? This one's already open.
Got the open one?
Yeah, this is the open one.
I'm gonna munch. Munch, but
be careful with the microphone, so you may want to be, like, munch away from the microphone.
Okay.
Sorry, we just want to be cool, because, we just want to be nice, because I understand that munching is also one of those things that kills a show at times. So maybe, like, soak it in your mouth and then chew.
Or you can just chew over there while you're talking.
Exactly. Good point. Yeah. But anyway, sorry. We just want to be respectful because everyone loves a podcast where they eat on it, right?
Yes, especially crunchy, crunchy foods.
Yeah. I want a munch squad. I want to So anyway, you can chew your Mickey Veggie chips, which are, by the way, delicious.
They're actually your Mickey Veggie chips.
Yes. Mickey, but they're good.
They're good.
They're really good.
First time I've ever had veggie chips.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're pretty solid.
Yeah. I mean, they're not as good as the normal crack-filled ones, but they're still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, Colonial Williamsburg is a location in Williamsburg where they spent, I want to say, a few decades ago, they basically rebuilt the original foundations of many of the Colonial Williamsburg buildings when during pre-revolutionary times. So the idea being that you'd be able to walk around and experience... Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Continue.
Yeah, I will continue. You could experience all the kind of things you would experience in, like, 1760, 1750, mm-hmm. that kind of time frame, pre-Revolutionary War, but still antagonistic and kind of worryful of the future. The idea being, of course, that we could teach our future generations about conflict and risk management and all blah, 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 whatever. So it's a super cool place. So if you've never been, you'd need to go because it's totally free to walk through, but it requires money for some of the more in-depth tours or inside tours. So you could walk around it for free, but, like, if you want to go in the buildings, that's when money starts coming out, and it's all incredibly reasonable. Last I saw, it was like, I forget, but it was very reasonable compared to, let's say, a day at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. Fantastic place, and right next to it is a wonderful is some houses and a wonderful downtown district that buffers the College of William and Mary. And there's a bunch of great restaurants there. Tonight we went to two of them. We went to Dog Street Pub, and then what was the other one we went to? Holy shit, I totally forget what the other one we went to was.
I thought it was another dog something.
Dog something, yeah. It was a really good one, too.
And it's only been there for, like, 2 years.
Yeah, so it's brand new.
So there's actual new buildings in Colonial Williamsburg.
Yeah, it's the... Great. Thank you, Yelp, for screwing up my search. It's the Houndstail. and we got a cocktail there. So we went to Dog Street. We had chicken tikka masala. Jeff's first chicken tikka masala. Makes me very proud. Very good.
Joe, I think, is... Joe compares chicken tikka masala with, you know, crack cocaine.
It is.
So...
It is. I mean, it is. It's really good.
See?
So then we got a few beers there. We walked around downtown. Then we went to the whatever it was before. Sorry. I got rid of it. The Hound's Tail. And then we had two mixed drinks. Yours was mostly champagne and something else. And mm-hmm. Blue Caracal. Mine was gin and vodka and, like, cranberry juice and something else. But it was all really good.
Yeah.
The drinks were solid.
Yeah, solid cocktail place.
I'd go back again to both those locations.
Yeah, they were good.
They were really good. Highly suggest them. So thank you to, of course, Hyde for suggesting the Dog Street Pub. But also check out the Hound's Tail.
Oh, speaking of Hyde.
Yeah.
We saw his Moose on the Loose video today.
Yeah, because...
We have to give him free advertising for that.
Yeah, because Six Flags is now operating Darien Lake.
As of now or as of next year?
As of today.
Oh. So it's now officially today as Six Flags Park.
Well, today it was released that they're operating it, but they don't own it. If that makes sense. So I'm not sure
Premier is licensing Six Flags to help operate the park.
So my general feeling on this is that Premier is licensing and is licensing the basically operations and profits from the park to Six Flags, but they still own the park. So basically what I'm hearing is that Premier doesn't know what they're doing. But
we knew that in 1999.
But wants the land and the actual property rights. And Six Flags is not at a point where they can buy it outright at the point. So now they've just picked and choose a few parks. Water parks to supplement other parks. That kind of thing. And one of them is Darien Lake. So anyway, Mr. Hyde, we watched your Moose on the Loose video. Because let's be honest, everyone loves Moose on a Loose. Now, Jeff, question for you. How is the Houston versus, Golden State game looking right now?
Very close. 2-point game. 62-60.
Nice. Yeah, it was a blowout earlier. So, yeah. So anyway, that's our kind of our Williamsburg, Virginia kind of roundup. Williamsburg's been great. We're going to be staying here a little bit tomorrow, and then we're heading back home, at which point we'll be recording a wrap-up show and talking about Cedar Point and Kings Island also. But besides that...
You spoiled the surprise!
We already talked about that, I thought.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We're going to be doing...
Good job. Good job talking about that.
Considering the fact that everyone mentioned... Like, Alan was like, when are you going to Cedar Point... And all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah. We mentioned it on the show. And I have a job, remember? We mentioned that one, too.
Mm.
So we just kind of opened up yesterday. We were on the road. We were all kind of tired. Now we're just drunk and tired. But, so today was my grand return in 12 or some years to Busch Gardens Williamsburg. One of my favorite regional theme parks. Absolutely, one of my favorites.
It was so nice of them that they opened the park just for us.
Right? Wasn't it wonderful?
We called them in advance and said, "Hey, you're probably closed on a random Tuesday in May, but could you just open the park just for us?"
And then sure. And then they're like, "Well, what about 500 of your closest friends?" And we're like, "Yeah, we can do that.
We don't know any of these people, but we'll let them in.
Yeah, they
can have fun too."
Heads up, Indians won 10-1.
Stupid bullpen gave up a run. Bums.
Yeah. So, Busch Gardens Williamsburg. That's a place.
Today was sort of like theme park heaven. because there was literally nobody at the park.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't rain at all. And it was glorious. And you say, hey, can we stay on this roller coaster that we just got off of? And they say yes.
Not that we just got off of, that we're sitting in still. Yes.
We're sitting in a roller coaster car that is empty except for two rows.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe please stay on for three or four more rides. Sure, of course you can, fellows at Parkscope, said yes. Busch Gardens, Williamsburg. Staff?
You bought out the park for the day, as you know.
We asked nicely.
So.
And they opened the park for us.
We get there. Like 10 a.m. It opens at 10. So we're...
No, we got there at like 10:15. Because
talking about parking.
Well, we didn't leave the hotel until 10. We got there at like 10 after. 10:10 or 10:15.
Whatever. We got there around 10. No one's there. Like...
We park in row 2.
Yeah. Row 2, right next to the handicap parking.
Yeah. The park opens at 10. We're in the parking lot at 10:15. And we park in row 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of day.
And I'm pretty sure that only like 5 or 6 rows were actually used that day. I'm sure they didn't have any trams going.
Mm-hmm.
Because the parking was so close. Like, there was no need for parking lot trams.
Thank God. But anyway, so...
And we got if you go online, you get a discount on tickets.
$20.
$20 discount on tickets. Mm-hmm. Just for going online. You don't have to put a certain code in or anything.
There's codes available, but none of them worked. And you could probably go to, like, a local Publix or... So, Richmond, Virginia is the only place I know of where you can go to Publix and a Wegmans in the same day.
Publix from the south, Wegmans from the north. Welcome to the glorious middle.
I don't have a Wegmans. I want a Wegmans.
Wegmans is nice.
I'm moving to Pittsburgh and I want a Wegmans.
Everyone has kind of copied Wegmans, though, by this point. I mean, Wegmans is still better than other places, but, like... The other supermarkets have really caught
up. Wegman saw the void after Giant Eagle bought Ucrops.
Mm, yeah.
And Ucrops went to Giant Eagle, but Ucrops food is still available because they own the off-party kind of marketing and off-site food preparation stuff that Ucrops does.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm sorry. We're doing some real deep dives into Richmond, Virginia stuff here. So sorry about that. So anyways...
How about that one store that we passed, too, way there?
Busch Gardens, Williamsburg. We get in there at 10:20, 10:30.
Mm-hmm. Half the park is closed. They haven't opened it
yet.
Yeah,
so the park was basically the British area, Loch Ness Monster, the area, basically Scotland, Ireland, and then going into France. France.
And the invader section. Is that Canada or is that Scotland?
No, that wasn't open yet, I don't think yet. That was opening in sections.
Okay.
So, we rode Loch Ness Monster, because we were like, oh, we need to ride Verbolten. We couldn't get there.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, whatever. Loch Ness Monster. 40th anniversary of Old Nessie.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new trains. Everything was running great.
Mm-hmm.
The
tunnel does not have any themed elements, at least from what we saw. So
now, there could have been ones before, but they're off now. But yeah, we saw no themed elements on May 22nd.
2018. Yes, there were none for us, so I don't know
who's... At like 10:30 in the morning. There could have been ones later. There could be ones tomorrow. But we didn't see any at that point. So take it for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
We then did the Battle for Erie virtual VR experience, which is a where they used to have Corkscrew Hill. And then they did...
Corkscrew Hill.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. Yeah.
That's what it was called. And then they did like flying through Europe or whatever there. Soarin' ripoff where you're
trying... But it was still the same simulator setup.
Yeah, the same simulator setup, but what's hilarious is they had the same like queue area, so it's like, hi, welcome to the airport.
We're in a cave?
We're in a cave? Castle? Yeah,
a,
I don't...
We're in a cave underneath a castle.
Whatever.
Welcome to the airport.
Welcome to the airport. It's Ireland. Da, da,
da, da. You step through the fourth dimension. It's like Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, but anyway, so... Battlefield Erie, for you guys don't know, is one of the first major VR attractions, non-coaster related. And also...
Can we talk about how stupid that is?
In a second. Let me finish the description. So basically, instead of you putting a mask on your face, you put on these predetermined kind of...
You put on the skeletons.
The skeletons.
The skeleton of the VR headset.
And the VR headset, then, you put on, but everything that touches your face, then, is kind of thrown in the wash. So, like, the actual technology is magnetic and bolts on to the part that you kind of throw in the wash.
So you put on the helmet. And by the way, if anyone is still confused, you can go on our Twitter and see the
photos.
Actual results of the skeleton of the headset. You put on that headset... And then once you sit down on the ride, they have a VR goggles that's attached to the car so that you don't walk away with them. And they are magnetic. So they magnetically attach to your helmet. And I am very, very happy that there is a new simulator ride in the world.
Technology.
Yeah, and it's new technology, even though it does feel a lot like Aladdin's Magic Carpet Ride.
Yeah.
But it's not a giant... it's not a VR headset that could, you know, tip over a yak.
It also has a more capacity than, like, 10 people an hour.
Yes. that, too.
Which is big. And better graphics and everything like that.
Although you had mentioned that the graphics could have been better.
Yeah, so they're using an older version of the Oculus Rift technology for this. Which is a problem. So the issue is that you're seeing screen dooring. So just Google VR screen dooring to get the idea. But basically, it looks like the idea is that you're looking through a screen door at a world. So you're seeing, like, the pixel grids and stuff like that. So that's a problem. There's a little bit of latency, which could cause some issues with some people, especially women, from what I hear. That's a big problem. Is latency. There's a lot of dudes actually design VR. So the actual latency, some of the weird latency.
Well, I don't know what latency is, though. Latency. Is that like the 3D, like people have problems with 3D movies?
Latency is basically this. You turn your head to the right and it goes like this, and then you do that. That's latency in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. Is that you turn your head to the left and it just fractions of a second slower. So that's an issue that I know is still a problem in the VR realm. They still say that you can take it off and watch the rest of it on the screen front of you. Yeah, so like if you're not feeling well or you can... Yeah, well, I don't want to. But one of the cool things was that, unfortunately, I thought the overall attraction was kind of boring. But the end was interesting because you were able to use the technology of the VR helmets to aim your sight at something. And they showed like a lot, like almost like a laser line going towards it.
Yeah,
as if everyone was looking at it.
It was a rainbow energy field of some kind.
Yeah, like everyone was looking at it and trying to use their...
I have to admit, I wasn't doing that.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
So I didn't contribute to saving Ireland on this day.
You know, and you're the Irish one here.
I'm only 25% Irish. Although I guess that counts.
Which is like the same amount of Italian I am, so.
Yeah, that's more than zero.
Imagine that ride experience, but
I thought you were predominantly Italian. What is your other nationalities?
Eastern European, French, and German.
Where are Eastern European, though?
Grandpa Stoikov's side.
No, but I mean where? In Eastern Europe?
I think Ukraine.
Okay.
My aunt did a whole thing. I'll show you what I'll show you later.
Oh, your aunt did like a 23andMe kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll show you later. Anyway, sorry. But yeah, That explains my hairiness. But,
you're actually a werewolf.
Yes.
You're Ukrainian werewolf.
Exactly. So that was Battle for Erie, and then we got a beer afterwards.
But first we have to talk about how stupid it is to have VR on roller coasters.
Okay, so VR roller coasters. Okay, so here's my thing with VR roller coasters. I still have not been on a VR roller coaster, so I'm going to give it the total benefit of the doubt.
I'm not, but continue.
Down the line. Because, like, you know, I have doubts about Pandora and, you know, Pandora the World Avatar. I've still not been in it yet, and I want to go because I want to give it a fair shake and give it my best analysis and say, hey, this is what works, this is what doesn't work in my mind, as someone who doesn't work in the industry and is an idiot and doesn't go to SCAD and all that stuff. But I want to be at least give it fairness. But my problem with VR roller coasters is that roller coasters, the concept is that you are traveling along, you're traveling a physical space, experiencing crazy visuals that you're not normally used to, and experiencing anxieties or no anxieties that you're not used to. And you are and the idea is that it is very physical and real. The problem with VR is that it adds a layer to that non-real.
Well, and it takes elements away.
You don't get periphery vision. And the benefit of VR, I'm not saying VR is bad, by the way. The benefit of VR is that it takes something the size of a hotel room and makes it feel like it's the size of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
While putting it on a roller coaster basically takes it being the size of the roller coaster and then reduces that that scope down, if that makes sense to listeners and to you. And that's my problem with VR on a roller coaster, is that a roller coaster is such an opening experience. Putting VR into it is a closing experience. And one of the things I can't wait till when I go to Orlando, and man, I want to go to Orlando soon, is to do the Void, the Star Wars experience, the Void. It's like $30. It's about 40 minutes experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a complete VR experience with backpacks on. And it's the middle of Disney Springs, the middle of nowhere. It was like an old random ass location at the Disney store. And now you're in the Star Wars story.
Mm-hmm.
That's VR.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see from the future of VR.
Yeah.
The idea that you can take, you know, strip mall, old, you know, Dollar General location and turn it into a VR experience where people walk in there and they pay $30 and they're taken into an incredible experience for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Be out of this world.
Yeah.
Is the future of VR. Putting a Samsung Galaxy VR on your face while you ride Iron Dragon is not the future of VR in my mind.
It's the equivalent of putting, quote unquote, 3D elements in Disaster Transport.
Yeah. That's my thing. Is like, I think there is a great way to do VR in theme parks, and I think Battle for Erie is getting there.
It's almost there. I felt almost the same as the old Race to Atlantis ride at Caesar's Palace, except I was in a VR space instead of in a IMAX theater space.
And was this the first time you ever did VR?
Yes.
How'd you like it?
Well, not including Disney Quest.
Yeah, but still, modern VR.
How'd you like it? I thought it was fine. Like, yeah. It felt exactly the same as a old school simulator ride. Except, you know, this time you can look side to side. I think it's pretty much a wash, because for every good element it adds, it takes away a good element that simulators have. I would have liked to have seen everyone else on
that, that's a problem. So we had I had a family behind me, and you sat a little farther away from me because there's no one there, so you could be like, I want to sit in the middle. And I'm like, Jeff, it's a fucking VR experience. It doesn't matter where you sit.
I didn't get that 100%.
It doesn't matter where you sit.
Right.
So, but there was my mom and her son behind me, or daughter, I forget. And they put their helmets on. They're like, I can't see you. And the kid was like, I can't see you either. Well, I'm here. And that's a problem. Like,
yeah, I want to see. It doesn't matter what they look.
It could be the left and the right.
Let's.
It doesn't have to be the front and the back. It just could be the person left and right.
I'm sure there's a problem with, we don't know what the people look like, and you know, you don't know blah blah blah. But just have them look like whatever generic fairies, right? Mm-hmm. At least I can see you, and I want to see like with Aladdin. I want to see when you turn your head.
And it doesn't,
right? And you're looking at me.
And it doesn't matter if it's, it doesn't matter if it's the whole theater. It just needs to be the person left and the right of you, looking at you, and you can look at.
I think
them.
You can make it work though with the whole theater because there's not that many seats, and you can just have them be generic fairies where everyone just they fly the same way. You know,
there's an incredible amount of personal contact with looking at someone. So I think that's an incredible thing that really needs to be looked at with these attractions in the future.
So that's something that was missing.
Yes.
Noticeably missing.
Mm-hmm. It's an isolating experience, mm-hmm. which is what theme parks usually are not.
But of course, what it adds is the fact that, like, in a simulator, if you look side to side, you just see the screen and it completely – or no, you see the simulator itself. Mm-hmm. Apart from the screen, and of course, it ruins the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's a good element that it adds.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the frame rate and it's not 100% believable. Like that you're in a little game.
So it's running at probably 30 frames, but it should be running at 60 or higher.
Yeah, but I was totally okay with that because I'm used to these, semi crappy simulator rides. So I'm totally fine because I'll play along.
So one of the interesting aspects was that they really made you look around. Like it wasn't a thing where you could just sit there and look forward and get everything. You had to really turn your head sometimes.
Yeah, and I still
see things, which was I think is cool.
I still think those headsets are still too heavy. I mean, it's going to take another couple years. I mean, much better than Aladdin. But I think it's another couple years where you need to be able to want to turn side to side and not have it be a burden. I'll be more blunt, though, that I think VR and roller coasters is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a damn seat. If you want people to experience things, buy a moving seat and a fan.
Yeah.
Because that's much cheaper. It takes up less room.
Yep.
And if your roller coaster's not good enough by itself, tear the fucking thing down.
Or
and build something good.
Or put better restraints in, or put... Like imagine if they want...
Do something that doesn't jump on a trend.
Or don't have it like a thing where it's like, well, imagine if Cedar Point went, well, Mantis sucks, we're just going to put VR on it. No, you don't want to put VR on a Mantis. You want to give it better trains. Give it, a refurb.
Yeah, and how even if people liked it, how many years do you think that will be popular?
Again, yeah. One. I agree.
At most.
I agree. So, my thing is,
because it's going to be the same VR experience.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to be, maybe if they're smart, they can program it, every year and have a different thing.
So my thing is
but most amusement park operators will not be doing that.
Yeah. So for, Disney doesn't even do that with Toy Story Midway Mania. So, but something Kraken, it's just don't do that. Make it floor. Kraken's not floorless, is it?
Kraken's floorless at SeaWorld. Yeah.
At SeaWorld, it's floorless.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
So you already have that.
Kraken was solid.
So Kraken's great. According to you, I've not been yet. I need to go. I need to. That was that whole entire home. Our parents would be like, we're not going to SeaWorld, Florida. We have SeaWorld, Ohio.
Remember SeaWorld, Ohio kids?
Yeah. So that was a thing I had to deal with. But,
we did have a SeaWorld, Joe, in Ohio. We had a SeaWorld.
Thanks, Six Flags.
It was a real SeaWorld. And it had Pirates 4D with Leslie Nielsen.
Yes. Anyway, so the rest of Busch Gardens, Williamsburg. Where else do you want to start?
You grabbed a beer at the pub.
Yeah, I grabbed a beer at the pub, starting a theme for the day, as my celebration for my employment. We saw a lot of the animals there. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see the lorikeets before we left.
Oh yeah.
But we
as we walked by, it was closed.
There was a wonderful bald eagle exhibit with three bald eagles who couldn't fly. Super cool seeing them jump around like idiots in a way. It was kind of funny, but like great still seeing them. A wolf enclosure. There was a lorikeet in habitat. There's a few other things. Lorikeets are the best. Lorikeets are so cool. Like, just look up lorikeet exhibit. Like, lorikeet walkthrough exhibit on YouTube. I bet you there's, like, a bunch of videos of just people, like, holding up those little plastic cups full of nectar. And like, and trillion... Like, yeah,
five birds on their shoulders.
Each arm, mm-hmm. five birds, like, right. trying to drink them. And it's just... It's the coolest thing
it's
in the
adorable.
World. And you know what? And the nectar costs, like, $2. So it's like... You have a great photography experience. You have the moment of, like, your week. Mm-hmm. You get to see these cool birds. And guess what? It's still cheaper than posing at the purple wall and getting a purple drink at Magic Kingdom. So suck it. So for roller coasters, Loch Ness Monster,
mm-hmm.
better than ever. Tempisto.
Tempisto.
Is...
Painful.
Garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that ride with a passion. So I think there's a concept there. The problem is that the
didn't they build one of those in Europe first or something like that?
There's a bunch of them they're building everywhere. My problem is that we had no waits for any attractions, so make no mistakes that this is some sort of like bias on waits here. The problem was is that I don't know if it's my body type because I've gained weight or what. But everything hurt on that ride. Like, nothing was comfortable. Like, nothing was comfortable. Like, every single element on that attraction was uncomfortable and unergonomic. Like, if they just fixed those trains, I would have ridden that thing maybe four or five times.
Mm-hmm.
But because the trains were so painful, it was even worse than Flight of Fear. I could never recommend that ride to anyone. Based on that, because I don't know if they'd be, like, you know, skinny and fine, or if they'd be, you know, full-bodied or whatever.
Well, I'm skinny, and it still wasn't that comfortable.
Yeah, it was terrible. So, Tempisto is the low light of the trip. Let's talk about the existing attractions that we experienced. So, the attractions I've experienced before and came back to. Apollo's Chariot.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Just as good as it ever was. So it's what I described. What I used to describe Soarin' to people who ride it for the first time is it's thrilling and relaxing at the same time. And yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
Apollo's Chariot is thrilling and relaxing at the same time because you just put yourself out there because of B&M's amazing restraints and seats.
Mm-hmm.
That you're just like reclining in a flying chair and you just, you know, you put your arms up and you just put yourself out there and you just feel like you're just flying there. And mm-hmm. it's just so fantastic. There's no like, there's no horrifically intense turns or drops where you have to like clutch your clam bar.
But there's still big drops.
Oh, there's still big drops. But no, I'm talking about like
ejector.
Like ridiculously twisting or like, you know, like
yeah.
the drops or the turns that, you know, make your bar just like mm-hmm. clamp onto your pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that. It's just so easy, so free.
Very traditional B&M.
Oh yeah. Wonderful out and back. You know. It has the helix. Mm-hmm. It has the drops. It has a couple curvy drops that aren't intense. It has a couple of unexpectedly long bunny hills.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Still great.
Yep. Good ride. Can't complain. Polish here. It's good. Alpengeist.
Alpengeist has gotten rickety.
It's gotten rickety, man. It's,
The front, though, is less rickety.
Less rickety, but... You're getting some of that side-to-side shaking more that they need to rebuild these trains some, I think.
Yeah, they do.
And we did multiple trains, and it's a problem now to the point where we rode three times and I was getting a major headache.
Yeah.
Like, after the second time, I had a major headache. After the third time, it was a bad headache. That was mostly, though, during the first part of the attraction, which makes me think it's the train because it's hitting a certain speed.
Mm-hmm.
The second part was way smoother and nicer.
Yeah.
More than I remember. But Alpengeist, the layout's still fantastic, though.
And it's so amazing how, like, all the inversions are, like, twice as high, twice as big as, like, any other inverted coaster in the world.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Tennessee Tornado of...
right, of inverted coasters.
Of inverted coasters. Like, it's like, oh, I thought that's supposed to be small. Nope, just kidding. So what is the current score of the Golden State Rockets game?
It's a 5-point game. Golden State's winning.
Okay, got it. Well, what quarter?
Fourth quarter.
Okay, got it.
Ooh. Houston just hit a three.
Oh, nice. So...
it's a 2-point game.
So now you guys know exactly when we're recording this.
Right? Yeah, now it's...
at 11:05 p.m. So that's a polished chariot, at Alpengeist for us. So then we hit the new stuff.
Was that all the old stuff that you did?
Besides the train, which is good.
And Pompeii.
Pompeii is as good as it ever was, except it seemed to break down every 10 seconds.
Yeah, it broke down, like, three times today.
Yeah, it was... And by three times today, I mean, of the four times we walked by it, it broke down three times of those. I have no idea what's going on that ride, but it's still fantastic. We finally got on it. And it was great, so... I don't know, man. Pompeii's great. I love Pompeii. So let's talk...
They need to make more of that kind of stuff.
Let's talk about...
new rides.
Let's talk about Invader.
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 So Invader is the GCI Woody that was built in 2017. Yeah, 2017. In the New France area. It's about invading Mongols and... I don't know, Vikings into...
was it Mongols?
It was Vikings.
Okay.
Invading Vikings into the French countryside.
We just know there was lots of arrows.
Yeah, lots of arrows.
And a battering ram at the entrance.
Yeah. Super cool theming, by the way. Great theming at the entrance.
Yeah, I just wished I knew what it was about.
Yeah, because it sucks at that. Who'd have thought? Almost like it was a secondary thing. I am not the biggest fan of Invader. There's some problems.
You liked it, I thought.
I love that ride. I really liked Invader. We did that 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
There's some serious issues with it, though. It's very short.
It's very short. There's no landscaping.
There's no landscaping. And as
Joe said to me after our last ride, that ride needs trees.
And that's a problem. Is like Busch Gardens Williamsburg... is voted the most beautiful park in the world by attractions. The Golden Ticket Awards. How can they build a new coaster with no landscaping? It's beyond me.
Very odd.
It's just beyond me. Like, not even, like, anything. No theming, no trees, nothing. They just wiped out a bunch of stuff and built the ride. So that's just beyond me, but... when it comes down to the two rides built last year, Mystic Timbers is way better, man.
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, that's going to be soon, too. And at least you don't have to keep hearing me say it's not as good as Steel Vengeance, right?
Because then I'll be able to have my own opinion, thanks.
Exactly. And you'll be like, yes, I agree with you, Joe. Steel Vengeance is the best ride ever.
Except for Millennium Force. You'll see that coming.
I mean, that's fine. That's fine. Invader's great. I really like the ride. The ride experience itself is really good. The problem is it needs a little more to it. Like one out and back. Doesn't have to be that much of an out and back. Just enough.
Mm-hmm.
To just give you like...
go somewhere.
Just enough to give you...
they have room, it seems.
Yeah, exactly. Enough to give you like two airtime hills and one good lateral turn. And that's all you need, plus some trees. And I think that ride would have been really special. But it dropped the ball, I think. And I don't blame it on GCI. I blame it on Busch for that one. I think Busch really didn't want to spend the money. Because that thing hits the brake runs like it still has about 1,000 feet of track to run.
Yeah.
But I like Invader still. I would totally wait half an hour for that ride.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very good.
How do you compare it to Thunderhead?
Smoother, which I always appreciate. More airtime, which I always appreciate. I like some of the elements in Thunderhead more, but so Invader is less ambitious than Thunderhead, but I may like Invader more.
You do like Invader more.
Yeah, so Thunderhead has more ambition, but unfortunately it's way rougher right now. So, like, if I rode in Thunderhead when it opened
mm-hmm.
versus Invader when it opened, I bet you I'd be like, oh, yeah, Thunderhead. Totally. Excuse me.
Come on.
But now that I'm riding him in 2018, it's a totally different discussion. So, that's kind of my take on it. What are your thoughts, Jeff, on Invader?
I agree.
Cool. Fantastic. So, our next ride to talk about is Griffin.
Yeah, Griffin. See, the thing with dive coasters for me, they're way too short.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they still, like, they could be twice as long. I know that Bellraven's pretty long.
It's longer, but...
But still.
Okay, yeah, continue.
Could be more stuff. And I absolutely love the finale with the splash. Mm-hmm. The splashdown in the pool. But they could have, like, so much more stuff like that. Like, throughout the ride. Mm-hmm. You know? More stuff, man.
So, my thing is that I think Griffin's more interesting than Bellraven. I think it has a more interesting layout, which is important. I like...
Well, each of Griffin's elements are pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Whereas Bellraven really goes for, like, the twister sort of feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing so, it has to water down the elements.
Yeah.
Like, all of Griffin's elements, because they have so few elements,
mm-hmm.
are, like, all the way up to 10.
Yeah.
The drop, obviously. The initial inversion. The second drop.
Yeah.
Where they slow you down so that you can get that
vertical. But even Bellraven has those. My thing is that I think Bellraven has a... slightly more boring layout, while Bellraven takes more risks and... Griffin takes more risks. It's a little weirder and different and makes more mistakes. I don't know. That's my take on it.
I really like Griffin.
Griffin's really good.
Mm-hmm.
The water splashdown's really good.
And I love how... So, of course, Joe and I, every time we go on Griffin... Of course we have to ride in the front, because that's the... Like, on a dive coaster, you have to ride in the front.
Also, let's be honest, no one was there, so you could do it.
Exactly. So, but when you suspend there,
mm-hmm.
you see that Coke bottle
yeah.
painted on the pavement.
Smile. It's just
like, yeah, seriously. So I keep thinking, like, like, how long will it take, like... companies to realize this is an advertising opportunity just for the people on the dive coaster.
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, Nike and Goodyear tires, like Keebler.
Yeah.
Just like painting. Like, people are walking over it, just like these giant, like, murals on the sidewalks, and they're like, what is this? Oh, it's an advertisement for the people on
Eat at on the melt. Dive.
Right? Yeah. Eat at Joe's.
Smoke. So, Griffin's good, but let's talk about my favorite ride at Busch Gardens Williamsburg.
Do we have any left? No, I think that's it. Okay, so yeah.
I think it's time to talk about my favorite ride at Busch Gardens Williamsburg, and that is, holy shit, Verbolten.
Verbolten.
Verbolten, what?
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, that's good. Verbolten is a highly themed... indoor-outdoor launched roller coaster. I don't know who makes it off the top of my head. Do you know? Mm-mm. I don't think it's Premier.
I don't.
I'm looking it up right now. So
if Premier made it, we'd probably be dead from like severe migraines.
I God, man, it must be Mach or Intamin then. Hold on, here we go. Verbolten. So all you at home already know. Zaire.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, sure. You know, those guys.
My favorites.
Yeah.
They made that other thing.
Yeah, and that thing too.
And that third other thing.
Mm-hmm. So, so Zaire. So, Verbolten. Where do we start with Verbolten? Where to start? The queue.
Start with the shed?
The queue is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. You didn't get to see the whole queue show video with the random German lady.
No, I did not. And it looked hilarious and weird and Monty Python-esque. So there's that. Then there's the shit. Then there's the forest cam, which I always thought was funny because we were making fun of, like, oh, the forest cam's going off. Oh, wait, never mind. It's just the DVD of...
No, it was the forest meter.
The forest meter was going off.
Which we were like, what the hell is a forest meter?
And they were like, oh, no, the forest meter's going off. Wait, never mind. It's just the DVD of Forrest Gump. And just doing that joke.
Wait, the forest meter's going off. Oh, no, it's just Forrest Whitaker. He just walked by.
Yeah. Oh, no, the forest meter's going off. Oh, wait, it's just the Forest Development Group. Never mind. and then you board, and it's a fine vehicle. But that ride...
if I do say so myself.
That ride's fun.
It's a fun ride.
It's a fun ride. I really like that.
I think it has problems.
Okay, so what are your problems with it?
So the whole ride should have been inside up until the final drop. Or not the final drop, but the big drop. So it should have been indoors until you get to the top.
Okay.
And then sort of like Pompeii, it would have opened. So like the door is open and then you're up there.
Yeah.
And then you have like that big drop.
Okay.
And the section after the drop should have been longer. I think twice as long.
Okay. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
Still
fun, though. But it's not my favorite ride in the park.
So the reason why it's my favorite ride in the park is that it offers something unique in themed entertainment and something and coasters, period, is that, like, I've been on a bunch of, like, B&M Hypers, so, like, I kind of know what Apollo's Cherry is about. My thing with Verbolten is that it really does kind of kick your ass with those launches. Especially inside, there's the drop inside. Yeah, I mean,
that's crazy. It's almost as good as the spare tire ratchet in the Jurassic boat ride.
Yeah.
As a surprise element.
Yeah. The drop is fantastic. Those launches are fantastic. I understand every complaint you have with it, but still, it's my favorite ride in the park. And I think it's absolutely fantastic. And you know what the best part is? Better than Tempesto, better than Invader or Griffin or anything, it fits the idea of Busch Gardens Williamsburg way more than any other, which is a somewhat modern but somewhat timeless war look or classical feel of an area embraced. So, like, it's the idea of that, hey, you're renting a car from this random-ass car dealership thing in Germany, and they're like, oh, guten Tag, and, like, the guy's all crazy trying to make crazy contraptions, and you're going to the Black Forest. Like, that's a whole thing. Like, that's the point. Like, what's the point of Griffin?
Right, but they could have. I still think they could have done a better job with that. And I'm sick to the back teeth of that storyline. Oh, you're in a hapless tour company who's sending you out in some dangerous area. It's like, okay, we've seen this a million times before.
Fair point. But what's the point of Griffin? Like, I don't know what the point of Griffin is.
Well, but Busch Gardens never had a point to their roller coasters. It's not like a...
Alpengeist did. Big Bad Wolf
did. Skis.
Big Bad Wolf did.
Big Bad Wolf, you went through a forest. Like, the story of Big Bad Wolf was you're being taken by a wolf through a town.
Yeah, okay.
And then down a mountain? Ravine? Lake? Okay. And then the wolf is flying or something? Yeah, no. I mean, it's always been like that. So
don't
I
question like, the flying
like,
wolf.
That's not my problem. Like, Busch Gardens has always been like that. Mm-hmm. But even, like, Loch Ness Monster, great queue area, great loading area, castle loading area, which I love that. Mm-hmm. But then after that, it's just like, okay, it's just a cool roller coaster, right?
Okay.
But that's okay. That's fair. What Busch Gardens always been about. Fair. But
well, I really like, I definitely think Bob Walton's the best ride there.
But the other thing, too, is, like, you really could... And I have the same problem with Twisted Timbers. Is they really could have done the theming. Like, they really could have gone and
they
done
the theming. They could have gone in the nines.
Like, really, yeah. Like and it wouldn't have been that hard.
I'm taking a chip. What do you want? I'm just taking one of your chips.
Oh.
I'm going to be obnoxious to everyone on the TV.
Yeah, so anything I do... I'm not going to feel bad anymore because Joe is breaking his own rules.
Yeah.
Wow. Houston by 3. 1 minute left.
Okay, everyone shut up. We're going to watch this. Oh. So.
Get the rebound. Anyway.
So what's the...
Golden State missed two.
Who's leading the series right now? Golden State?
Yeah. No, if Houston loses this game, they're done.
Okay.
Not like actually done, but they're done. So, anyway, so...
Okay, we're down under 50 seconds now.
Yeah, everyone turn on, like, a replay of the Golden State game. Oh, that was a bad shot. Don't do that.
Okay, we're paused. Anyways, okay. So, Jeff.
What was I gonna say? Oh, yeah, so, like, Twisted Timbers.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been hard for them to have a... Berenstain Bears style spooky old tree sort of mascot. Like a Tim Burton tree. Like a Tim Burton Sleepy Hollow tree.
As I said before, I got some news for you when we go to King's Island.
Right. But like have like this crazy like Tim Burton mm-hmm. tree at the entrance with like, you know, his eyes and his like mouth like glow like different colors.
That's
like,
literally Mystic Timbers. Which is the
I haven't seen anything about Mystic Timbers. Great. But I'm just saying what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
But like just little things like that, like having mascots or having symbols that people remember or having an actual storyline that makes sense. Like these are things that don't cost any more money. That guy looks more like a character from the E.T. adventure.
Yeah, so I'm showing Jeff the logo for Mystic Timbers, just so you can see the...
But is he physically there? He's just like in the.
We'll talk about it after the King's Island trip. Let's put it that way. We'll put a pin in that. We'll talk about Mystic Timbers. Put a pin in that.
Anyway, so Verbolten is sort of the same thing for me. Is that like they could have played up more of the. Black Forest haunted sort of thing. Play it like an actual haunted ride instead of campy tour group pre-show. I'm like that would have been cooler.
I'm fine with. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm fine with it. It's just it is what it is. I mean, I'm fine with it. So I don't know what else to say. I love Verbolten. It's an absolutely fantastic attraction. I think it's definitely one of the best ones I've been on. So besides Cedar Point and Kings Island, when we go to those in the next few days, next few weeks or week or whatever, for this entire, you know, start driving from Akron and then we go back to Akron kind of situation, today's our last day.
Today's our last day of this trip.
Well, I mean, I'm still counting the trip being including Kings Island and Cedar Point, but, like, also, in general, being, you know, hey, we started this trip being like, hey, we're leaving now, we're coming back then now because we have stuff to do. But we're still including other trip aspects to it in the future. So from that perspective, should I pause this while we wait for the end of the Golden State game?
Listen. You want to watch it.
No, I mean, I'm watching it too, but my comments is basically, what is the most surprising thing that you've seen or experienced so far this trip?
The most surprising thing?
Yeah, as we're trying to drag this out, as the game is about to end.
3 seconds, 2 seconds.
One. And...
Oh, the game's over. Oh, Houston won.
There we go. Anyway, sorry, Jeff.
Interesting.
So what's your most non... It could be anything in this trip. Anything whatsoever. Wow, I can't believe Joe drove well. Or this music was good.
You didn't
drive
well, then.
Thank you.
Kidding.
I appreciate it. it could be just anything in this trip.
What was most surprising?
What was most surprising and what did you like the most? Both. It could be the same thing. It could be totally different.
Well, I mean, to be frank, what I like the most is the fact that we didn't have to deal with crowds ever.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
The thing is...
Besides Kings and Minion a little bit. Yes.
Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit.
Very little bit.
With Twisted Timbers, and that's about it.
Even then, though, like, we got
and a
on...
a little bit of Dollywood. Just a little bit.
Well, that's because we had unfortunate timing at Dollywood.
Yeah. Yes.
The thing is, I went to all these parks last year, so nothing really surprised me. Lightning Rod was great,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't go on last year. Didn't get the chance to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll have to say it's the Jurassic Boat Ride. Because that's like the only thing that I'm new to.
Yeah, the Jurassic... Jungle Boat Ride, I think you mean.
The Jurassic Jungle Boat Ride, yes, of course. How silly of me. Yeah, I mean, that's a hard question for me to answer because, again, I went on everything pretty much last year. So.
Okay.
I can't really say.
But what about, I'm not talking about just rides, I'm talking about in general. Food, drink, anything. Our craziness. My fashion style.
Okay, definitely not that.
Oh, jeez. Damn. No wonder I'm single.
I mean, I guess it would have to be Twisted Timbers then.
What? For what aspect? Like, best? Or most unexpected? Or what?
For most pleasant surprise.
Great. How good it was? Or?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Because my only other RMC experience was Twisted Colossus, which is a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting animal.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell it's one of their earlier efforts. Compared to Twisted Timbers, which is very precise, very compact.
Twisted Timbers is the eye box. Well, I think Twisted Colossus is the topper track, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember.
I forget.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe it is the eye box. So hold on. But I'm looking that up right now.
I mean, that's a question that I should be asking you. Because you haven't done most of this stuff ever, or in 12 years.
Yeah.
So that's a question that you need to answer.
Good point. So, Twisted Colossus is very much so the iBox track. Look at that. Very smooth.
It's quality stuff.
Good stuff. So for me, I have the throwaway.com. A review of the Jurassic Jungle Boat Ride up, so I can read that later tonight.
And we have it up because Robert Coker liked one of our tweets today. We have no idea.
Retweeted it,
yes. We didn't know that he followed us or actually cared about anything that we did, but there we go.
I think he followed us for some odd reason. Yeah. I have no idea why.
So randomly we saw him.
We're idiots and assholes, and he's a nice guy and a smart guy, so clearly so we opposite.
Why does he care about us?
So anyway, most disappointing aspect was not being able to ride Dark Castle.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you, Bush.
What a disappointment.
Fuck you, Bush Gardens. That really sucks. That's disappointing.
Last year, that ride had a big line.
Yeah.
And 80% of that line was families.
Yeah.
Families loved that thing. It's really disappointing.
Bush made a bad move on that one.
Bad move. Jerks.
So unexpected. So what you ask me back questions. Probe me for questions. Insert me anywhere, to quote Tobias Funke. it's like having a mango in your mouth.
So I assume the biggest negative of the trip was Dark Castle.
Well, I mean, I knew about Dark Castle to begin with, so.
So then what's your biggest negative of the trip?
Tempisto.
Tempisto? Because, yeah, it hurts.
It hurts, and I was ready to go into being like, yeah, this is a great thing. And SeaWorld bought some, and a bunch of other people bought them, and I'm just like, nope, not interested in this concept.
Yeah. I love that you're like, I'm okay with not going on that again.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Okay, then most negative surprise.
Oh, so the thing that you were surprised that I was most negative about? I was surprised I was most negative about?
Yeah, so you didn't like Tempisto.
Yeah.
But then again, you didn't really know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have gone either way on it.
Okay, yeah. Right?
So now what's the most negative surprise? Probably, see, it's not so easy.
No, Intimidator 305.
Yeah. I felt the same way.
I thought that was going to be way better than it was, and that was very boring.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it was just intensity for intensity's sake, and it just was not interesting. I think that's a huge issue with that ride, is that it is a parking-lot-free parking lot coaster, and it's boring.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I know what they're going for, and it's still trash. And to add insult to injury, they have fucking over-the-shoulder restraints for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Removing any idea of you being like, oh, let's ride it. Oh, wait, never mind. My neck gets chopped off on this ride.
Did you like Lightning Rod or Twisted Timbers better?
Oh, now we're getting to some weird questions. Unfortunately for people, I'm going to have to say Twisted Timbers.
Okay.
I loved Lightning Rod. I love Twisted Timbers. But Twisted Timbers was just a little crazier and just a little weirder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I liked it more. But my thing with Lightning Rod is that it's very short and there's just this weird thing about it. And I don't know how to explain it. Besides, it feels like half the ride is just brake runs. Like, you're just waiting to start.
Which ride?
Brake runs. So like,
no, which ride?
Lightning Rod.
Lightning Rod.
So, like, you're either waiting to launch up the hill, or you're just on that last brake run just going in. Like, just like, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like Twisted Timbers a lot because it feels like it has better pacing.
Okay.
And it feels like you get up, you go up the lift hill, you get all that crazy stuff, blah, 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 blah. And then you're done. But it feels like Lightning Rod's a little weirder with that. It's just kind of like you're going out, okay. Launch lift hill, but then it's like you don't get that much air time, and then you get the second drop, and you're mm-hmm. like, okay, yay. And, you know, then you get some of the crazy overbank turns, and you know, airtime hills and stuff, and then you do the crazy overbank turn, but then you get the crazy long, boring brake run at the end of it.
Your favorite ride at Kings Dominion was Twisted Timbers?
Yeah.
Your favorite ride at Carowinds was Fury?
Yeah.
Favorite ride at Dollywood was Lightning Rod?
Now that's where things get interesting. I would say yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I would say that Fire Chaser Express and Wild Eagle give it a pretty decent run mm-hmm. for its money. Because but not because Lightning Rod's so bad. I like both those rides a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think both those rides are very, very good.
And your favorite ride at Busch Gardens was Revolton.
Yes, sir.
So of those four, which one was your favorite?
Twisted Timbers.
Really?
No questions asked.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You like those rides.
They're also incredibly weird and different and airtime and it goes everywhere and it's insane.
And twisting.
And it's just
And are you upside down or aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And it takes you for a ride in a literal way. Like just that whole entire overbank turn where the normal, you know, in the hurler layout, that first turn after the major drop was just like, oh, that's just an overbank turn. And then you just go back. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different thing. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by interesting ride layouts. It's like they're taking something that you know and doing something different, or they're trying to incorporate new ideas or do something or give you new sensations. And that's what I see about Twisted Timbers is like, hey, like, okay, you want to turn around? Well, we're going to turn you around, but you're not going to know how we're going to do it. It's like, you know, we're going to give you a zero G roll as you go over this, you know, going over this turn. Or, yo, you think you're going to be doing some like momentum killing, you know, bunny hops? Well, guess what? We're going to kick you to the left and the right, you know, as mm-hmm. we do it, because we can.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing. Or, you know, like, hey, we need to do a turnaround. Well, guess what? We're going to dive you down. We're going to take you back up really quickly, and you don't know where you're going, and then we're going to dive you back down through the structure again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, disorienting and fun, and you're just like, whoa, what's going on? So I think Twisted Timbers is definitely my favorite from this trip, followed by Fury, followed by Verbolten.
So, of these three, what were your favorite? Dominator, Intimidator at Carowinds, or Apollo's Chariot?
I would say Intimidator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's really good.
Although I like Apollo's Chariot, though, just because it's so
Dominator's really relaxing. Good. Dominator's really good. It's also really kind of getting rickety.
Dominator,
yeah.
See, I didn't get that. You apparently sat in the wrong place.
I mean, it was way more dependent on where you're sitting, but Intimidator just felt new. It still felt brand new.
Yeah.
And I'm writing it. I'm like even with those goddamn fucking brakes on every hill, like if you're sitting in the front.
That was weird, yeah.
If you're sitting in the front, man, that gives you great airtime. So, that's my take on that. So, any other questions for me? We're over an hour now.
Did you like the Battle for Air or Boo Hill better?
Ooh. So, Battle for Boo Hill, it was the one at King's Dominion and was not the one at King's Island. So, it's the King's Dominion one versus Air. I think Battle for Air.
Okay.
I like that one more because I feel like it was more of an experience, an mm-hmm. overall experience. Well, Boo Hill is way more of the, not to use the word disparagingly, but a Sally experience.
aren't they cute?
Well, I mean, aren't Sally does great stuff, but like when they're told, hey, you have a budget, they go, noted. And they make a budget. And that felt like it.
I won't insult you by asking you if you liked Battle for Air or Plants vs. Zombies better, because we won't get into that.
I don't know which one I like more.
Oh, yes, you do. Garden Warfare is 10 times better than Battle for Air.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it is.
So imagine if they did Garden Warfare with VR helmets. That'd be really good.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the same.
But better. You'd be able to see where you're shooting more than everyone else. Yeah.
But you'd have to calibrate, though. Like, you have to... Well, yeah, because when you have the screen...
Not any more than...
You can see where you're aiming.
Yeah.
In front of you.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's VR, now you have to... Without knowing where your hand is, you have to calibrate it. So you have to find out, okay, where am I right now? Okay, there. Okay, now I have to bring it over here.
Okay.
So that's the only thing about... That's the only thing that would be different.
Okay. Any other questions?
Where's your favorite in-park place to eat?
Good question. So, Kings of Minion, we just had that burger at that one place. Really?
Yeah, the Hungry Hippos.
Yeah, Hungry Hippo. Before it rained, so that's the only reason why we ate there.
With the great carrot cake.
Yeah, good point. Good carrot cake. That was really good carrot cake. Then we had Carowinds. We went to Chickie and Pete's.
Mm-hmm.
Counter service. Dollywood, we went to...
Aunt Lillian's,
and we went to...
With her banjo.
And, oh, that's fine. That's fine. And then we went to,
Cinnamon bread.
And then today, we went to the Italian place.
Mm-hmm. Fest House.
The Fest House. Of those, man, Aunt Lillian's was probably the better one.
Yeah, we gotta say
Aunt Lillian's. Like, I probably should have gotten something different at the Italian one today, because the flatbread I thought was very boring.
Yeah.
The actual flatbread.
Mine was too.
Like, if we got the egg parm or anything else there, I think it would have been better, but it was just the flatbread was boring. Like, the actual bread itself was boring and stale and weird. Aunt Lillian's, very good. Chickie and Pete's, meh.
Okay.
But we also knew what we were getting into.
Yeah.
And then, same thing for the Hungry Hippos one. But Hungry Hippos, really, really good. Carrot cake.
If there's one thing, I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this question, because the answer will absolutely depend on how I phrase this. One thing.
Hypersonic XLC.
I don't even know what question that's an answer to.
Your mom. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Your face.
Yeah.
What thing do you think any one of these... No, we'll go with each. Each of these four parks, one thing that you like about them that you wish was at Cedar Point.
Okay.
And there's about 50 different ways I could phrase that question.
Yeah, no. So because Cedar Point is our local park, I would say, for the time being.
Yeah,
at least
for the next 2 weeks.
Next 2, 3, 4 weeks. It's our home park since we were little. It's one of our favorite parks, period.
Well, I mean, technically, I've lived all over the place, so.
Oh, you've lived all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, I see how it is. Not
you,
me.
You said we.
Yeah, I said we lived all. No. Never mind. Anyway, so. I'm trying. The idea is basically, hey, Cedar Point, home.
It's America's home roller coast.
Right on. So.
So this means something to us.
I'm going to do some weird stuff here, and I'm really excited about this. Replace Cedar Creek Mine Ride with
Gold Rusher?
Exactly.
Why not?
Why not trenches make everything better?
Trenches and tunnels.
Trenches and tunnels make everything better.
Trenches and tunnels make everything better.
I think that's a more interesting ride than Cedar Creek Mine Ride.
Easily.
That's my one from Carowinds.
I'm going to assume that you are also thinking that they should have Plants vs. Zombies somewhere.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's a good one.
But we'll put that in a bonus section, and we'll just say that's we'll give you a bonus on that one.
Okay. So. Oh no, this is hard. There's like two people listening right now, which is hilarious.
Yes, whoever's still listening to this podcast will get something free if you just text Joe personally.
Actually, at reply, at Parkscope Jeff and at Parkscope Joe, the first person who does this will get a...
And mentions this point in the podcast.
And says, and texts us, and message us the following three words. Mickey... Carrot chip. Mickey carrot chip.
Which I am holding in my hand.
Yes, exactly.
Mickey carrot chip.
And I'm writing down. So the first person to do that, I will send something to. Might as well. Could be as small as a postcard, could be all of Steel Vengeance. I don't know.
Well, since they're tweeting to both of us, we will pool our funds. And send them something good.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
we will send you something good.
So from Dollywood, I would say the food.
Yeah.
Cedar Point, definitely.
And the water elements.
No, I would put the food down.
Yeah.
I would say the food. I think the food's more needed.
Did you say King's Dominion yet?
Not yet. No.
Okay. So what about King's Dominion?
King's Dominion.
Because I already have Steel Vengeance, so you can't say Twisted Timbers.
I know. For King's Dominion, I would say making the park way more beautiful. Just, and by that I mean trees. I mean,
and water elements.
And no, there's not that many water elements in King's Dominion, but making the park lush and beautiful and really
What do you say to the people who say, well? Part of Cedar Point's charm is that main midway.
The main midway is great, but the point of a midway is direction. And by having everything flat and open is not the point of direction. You want to have things that are, like, the idea is that you want to direct people towards an area. Part of that you can use is trees. And adding trees allows you to create areas where there's shade, create natural living areas, create momentum in the park, because, you know, you get wind, especially at Cedar Point. You know, they blow, they whistle. I mean, it looks great. But, like, I mean, look at something like the Midway by Max Air, for crying out loud. You know, there's no trees there, and it's boring, and it's ugly.
Yeah.
But imagine if they tore down some of that, you know, artifice there, and they built up some of it, and they had some more trees and some planter areas. It would just look gorgeous, and it'd be better. So that's all I would say from there. So Carowinds, King's Dominion. So from Bush.
Besides Fest House,
would be Battle for Erie.
At Cedar Point.
You know why?
But they already have Plants vs. Zombies.
Well, no, they don't.
When we put it in, they will.
No, they don't, because I only got to choose one thing from a park.
I told you, I'd give you that as a bonus.
Even then, Cedar Point needs another indoor attraction.
They need more indoor attractions.
And it's
really getting to the point where there's no excuse anymore, because yeah. Six Flags is building dark rides.
Yeah.
Friggin', you know, Busch has always had indoor attractions. Even, like, Carowinds now has a simulator.
Yeah.
And Cedar Point has goddamn nothing. And not even do they have nothing.
They've
taken away the ones that they had.
Yes.
Which include not only the...
Recently.
Not only Disaster Transport, but also the...
IMAX.
The IMAX, which randomly turned into a Peanuts ice skating show. Regardless, it was still inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting to the point where they're running out of excuses, and they really need stuff for people to do when it's raining.
Yeah.
Period. Because it rains in Ohio.
Poor weather. because, hey,
honestly, if the weather's that bad, you really shouldn't be going to Cedar Point. But what I'm saying is, if the weather is good until, you know, 4 o'clock and then it starts raining, you need something to do for an hour or two before it clear up.
But also, like, so can you grab me a water real quick?
Mm-hmm.
So even then, it's like, it's a summer. It's a beautiful, sunny summer. No, it's not in the cooler. It's in the fridge. Oh. Like, even if it's a beautiful, sunny summer, people want to get out of the heat. They want to get out of the sun. They want to go inside a little bit, you know?
Yes, they do. We know this.
So, that's my thing is like, hey, Battle for Erie is that kind of attraction.
Friggin' Legoland now has, like, trackless rides, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Legoland.
Yeah, so Cedar Point has no excuse. So that's so I'm going to throw it back at you of Kings Dominion, Carowinds, Dollywood, and Busch Gardens Williamsburg. What aspect of each of those four parks would you like to move to your favorite regional amusement park, a.k.a. Cedar Point?
Well, I would say, similar to what you said, they do need to work on... I won't go with the natural atmosphere, but I'll go with water elements, because, you know what? They're surrounded by a freaking freshwater lake.
From whom? What park?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not gonna care about.
No, you gotta pick one from each park. Pick a park. You get one element from each park.
Okay, so water elements from Dollywood.
Okay, you're done with Dollywood.
And then King's Dominion. The Terrifying Children's Ride.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
They need a... So, I'm going to include this in King's Dominion. It technically goes into Carowinds, but King's Dominion has something like this. Okay. They need a Sky Tower.
Okay.
Which technically is in Carowinds, but the Eiffel Tower is sort of a kind of a Sky Tower.
The idea being a...
Somewhere that's a place they used to have, right next to the disaster transport,
yeah,
where you can go into an air-conditioned area
yeah,
and take a nice little ride up 300 feet where you can see the whole park.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone loves that.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have that. So I would say Sky Tower. And if you were to watch one of my favorite amusement park documentaries ever, which is Amusement Parks: The Pursuit of Fun, you would know that one of the main elements of a park are places where you can relax and cool off. This may include water rides, or this may include indoor
mm-hmm.
air conditioning.
Yes.
And that's what we've covered, is indoor.
Mm-hmm.
For Busch Gardens, going on the Escape from Pompeii theme, I will say Cedar Point needs better water rides.
Fantastic. That's a different way to look at that, and I appreciate that. I think I agree too.
Because Snake River Falls we're done with that.
Mm-hmm. Whitewater Landing.
It's been there since 93. They've taken out Whitewater Landing, they've taken out Mill Race, they've taken out the friggin'
Shoot the Falls.
Yeah, crappy
Shoot the Rapids.
Crappy whatever the hell it was.
Murder, Shoot the Rapids, the Intamin ride that tried to kill
murder
people.
Murder face.
Yeah. Murder. I drown the kids.
And they,
I drown the kids.
And Thunder Canyon's still there, which God bless it. Good for that.
Mm-hmm.
But they need legit, like, good stuff.
They
like
need
water rides.
They need another log flume.
And like the, the beaver shoot 'em up adventure water attraction. Just anything.
Yeah.
Water. Water is good.
Mm-hmm.
People like water.
I'm holding my Aquafina right now and taking a sip. So
yes, indeed. Where does that put me? Carowinds. Carowinds. They need Camp Snoopy. They need Camp Snoopy.
Okay. They have that. They need that Camp Snoopy. Okay. Yes. Okay.
They need that Camp Snoopy.
They have a Camp Snoopy. So,
but I don't think it's as well famed as Carowinds is. Is it?
We'll find out in under.
Yeah, I don't even remember the Cedar Point Camp Snoopy. The big thing with Cedar Point is they just need they need to figure out the aesthetic of certain areas. So right now, they have a great aesthetic with the frontier area in mm-hmm. the back. They have the little frontier trail,
mm-hmm.
and they have the frontier town with Maverick and Mean Streak and that. That's good stuff. But then you have Gemini Midway, and you have that friggin' area by the lake where Gatekeeper is and Max mm-hmm. Air. And you have the main Midway, and then you have an area to the left, sort of, which is where Blue Streak is, and the cars.
Chicky and Pete's and the Tiki Twirl.
Which is off the Midway, but has no...
The Valraven.
The Valraven area, we can call it. No aesthetic whatsoever there. Mm-hmm. No aesthetic whatsoever in the Gatekeeper area.
Well, it sounds like they're going to put something in the Gatekeeper area soon.
Great.
Because they tore down the Action Theater there.
They have a mini Kids Land by the Gatekeeper area, by Melt.
Which is a problem.
Yeah.
Because they need one kids area. Or they need to...
So I would say have one main kids area and have some family rides spread out around the park.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, take those...
This is too specific an example, but think of, like, Toontown. Right? Toontown is a specific kids area.
Mm-hmm.
Like a central... Not central, but a, you know, center of the universe kids area. Mm-hmm. If you have nothing else to do, go back to Toontown. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they have family rides around Magic Kingdom. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, they need to figure out what to do with that. And since there's a giant dinosaurs alive area that no one gives a flying shit about, maybe you can use that area.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I would do for Cedar Point, among quite a few other things.
Cool. So, throw my phone on the bed. Jeff, where can we find you online at?
I'm at Parkscope Jeff.
Awesome. I'm on Parkscope Twitter. Joe. Find all of us at Parkscope.
And you need to... The one person who's listening still has to tweet us, both of us, and give us the secret password that we mentioned like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, both of us. So, we'll figure that out, but we have one more episode tomorrow of kind of a trip wrap-up. We kind of did a trip wrap-up already.
Yeah, we kind of.
Yeah, but we should think about maybe
a look ahead. Look ahead to Cedar Point and Kings Island and Kennywood and Waldemere and Hershey and Dorney and Six Flags.
Ooh, whoa, we're hitting a lot there, right there.
Well, yeah. this is sort of like best case scenario.
But also, we should cover some news, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Six Flags news?
Any news.
So, like, the news that Disney will definitely not open Star Wars Land in 2019. That sort of news?
News tomorrow. Anyway.
What's happening tomorrow?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm saying shh.
Oh,
because we're going to cover the news tomorrow.
We can cover the news tomorrow.
Exactly.
We can talk about that crappy Star Wars hotel, too.
Oh, good point. We can do that, too.
Yeah.
Idea. There we go. Anyways. Tired? I'm tired. I'm drunk. My shorts don't fit anymore, so I need to lose like 20 pounds.
Did they fit 4 days ago?
No.
Okay.
I haven't worn them in a while. But they fit like a while ago, and now they don't, so I need to lose weight. So I need to start working on that. Why am I putting this online? That I need to lose... Anyway.
Because we love ourselves?
Yeah, we love everybody, and
you need some motivation, that's why.
Exactly. I need people to kick me in the ass and go, Joe, have you lost... Joe, have you gotten back down to 140 pounds, or have you gotten back to 145 pounds? That's when you people go for me, and I'll be like, yay, I have. Or 140 pounds with muscle, 150 with muscle, maybe. You know?
Sure.
Just not all, the... Not
all that muscle you're going to pack on.
Just not the love handles is the thing. Anyways.
Beer is good.
Beer is wonderful. Good night, everyone.